chapter 11. John chapter 11. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is about me, but every time I stand here, you guys throw out food. So I don't know if I inspire you to eat, probably. Amen. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. It's a joy to be here with you. Truly one of my favorite opportunities to be in chapel and preach and just be here. Every week I get a chance to once a week sit in chapel, and it's truly a joy, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. I tell you, I was struggling with the message this morning. Since last night, I was convinced the Lord would have me a different direction, but I think with the Lord's help this morning, I'm going to preach what He wants me to preach. John chapter 11, the Bible says there in verse number 1, and we'll go just read a few verses and then we'll get started. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which was anointed the Lord with an ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now I want you to pay attention to that verse number 3 and just hold on to that thought there, and we'll come back to that. "When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of his sleep." Have you ever been in a situation where you've planned everything out, maybe a family vacation or a career or something you worked hard to do and to plan out strategically, and you said, I figured everything out. I know this is what's going to happen. This is what's supposed to happen. And at the last minute, the Lord changes things around. The Lord somehow changes the plans, and whether through a person or circumstance, things don't end up quite the way we expected them to turn out. So many times in life, we can have so many things planned out, you know, and it's good to plan. It's good to, you know, the Bible says that we're supposed to know how to count our days and be wise in that, be wise stewards. But sometimes the Lord doesn't quite agree with our plans, because His plans are greater plans. If you notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, "Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now these are the ladies that knew him in a much closer way. They have had encounters with him at home, and it was the Lord Jesus that had chose to spend time with them more than any other family. And we know of other homes that he had spent time in, but this particular family, there was something that drew him to them. And in that, with that knowledge and that confidence that they had, they said, surely we write him a note wherever he may be, and as soon as he sees that his friend Lazarus is sick. And then they even threw in that thou lovest. I'm sure they said, when they sent that letter, and said, he's going to drop everything he's doing and just come right to us. Lazarus, yes, he's sick, but everything's going to be okay. But in verse number 4, the Lord changed their plans. And I want to talk to you this morning about when God changes our plans. When God changes our plans. I notice in verse number 4 something that the Holy Spirit make sure that this was in right after this. I think because he knew that we would be reading this many years after, and this story is so true and so really, so many of us heard it. But notice in verse 4, it says, when Jesus heard that, he said that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And he says in verse number 4, he right away establishes his motive for changing our plans. And then in verse number 5, it is made sure that we know that he loves us. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You see, one of the things that I know because of personal experience is when the Lord changes our plans and even things that happen in our life that hurt, the first thing that we question sometimes is maybe God's motives. Lord, what are you doing? And let me remind you that it's okay to ask why. It was the Lord Jesus that on the cross of Calvary asked, why hast thou forsaken me? Father. Sometimes the Lord changes our plans and we don't understand why. But we have to remember before anything else is that God loves us and he knows the best for us. We can trust him even though we don't understand what he's doing. And then we must remember that he does love us. Because it's when in those moments that God changes our plans that we think that everything is the way it's supposed to be this way. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I've crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's, and I know I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be doing this, and this is where God has me, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. When God changes the plan, sometimes the devil whispers in our ears and says, does God love you? Because if he loved you, why is this happening to you? Why are you going through these struggles? Wasn't it he that called you into the ministry? Wasn't it he that put it in your heart? He changed your plans. He's the one that you had all your career lined up. You thought you were going to go to this university, that college, you were going to study this and that. And now God puts it in your heart through some youth conference, through some camp, through some preaching, whatever camp. And God tells you to come to Bible college. And now you're here. You surrendered your rights. You surrendered your will. And now you're in Bible college. And you came here saying, Lord, I trust you. You've called me and now I'm here. And now sometimes the devil whispers in your ear and says, then why are you struggling the way you're struggling? You ever been there? You ever ask yourself, Lord, what's going on? Typically, we live our lives relatively in control of all the circumstances that surround us. But, you know, from time to time come moments when we lose control, when the things are not going as we expect them to go. When God changes the plans, when we evaluate the situation and examine our actions and conclude that things should be going differently. Why are things turning out the way they're turning out? We arrive at moments when our plans and even our prayers and desires are not coming out as we expect them to come out. And we begin to react incorrectly as children of God. Mary and Martha lost control of the circumstances, and both which responded in a way what the Lord had to correct them. Both knew that the Lord was in control. Both knew that he was capable of the impossible. But yet when they saw their brother had died and he did not come when they expected him to come. You see, their plan was, let me send them a note. I'm sure that he will respond to this note. And I'm just going to tie in at the end that thou lovest. Almost as to bend his arm, almost as to say, Lord, surely I'm reminding you that you love me. Surely when you know that I know that you love me and that you're supposed to supply all my needs, that you're going to comply to your word, your promises, that you're going to fulfill your promise in my life, surely you're going to make things work out for me. And then in verse 4, he changes his plan. and says, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to help you with your school bill. Not right now. I'm not going to give you that ride. I'm not going to fix your car. I'm not going to help you here or help you there. I'm not going to, that letter that you sent home is not going to return the way you think it's supposed to return. And then you start questioning. And this is in the space of time where so many Christians fall out of the will of God. This is the moment where so many of us get sarcastic with the Lord and get indifferent and we get bitter in our hearts and it begins to reflect in our ministry, in our service, and in our attitude. We lose the joy. We lose the song in our heart and we start complaining about, why is it going the way it's going for me? Lord, after all, I've just responded to your call. I've only been obedient to you, Lord. I am where I'm at because you called me and I trust that you were going to provide. Lord, what's going on? You ever had the Lord change your plans? Remember when my wife and I were in high school, and we were certain and we were sure that we were going to get to come to Hiles Anderson College. It was not just her and myself, but a couple other students. And at that time, circumstances led to a pastoral change in our ministry. And because of sin, and it broke our hearts, our church family's heart, and the new pastor that came in, his philosophy was a little different than the former pastor. The former pastor would have Brother Hiles every year at the church, and we got to hear him there, and it was just great. But the next pastor came in, and not to speak ill in any way, fashion of him, but he had a different mentality, and he basically put us in a corner at during the same time where my parents were breaking up and splitting up, and now my mom was living alone, and my dad was living somewhere else, and I got to a corner where our pastor was putting us in a corner, up against a corner, saying, you're either, if you go to Hiles Anderson College, then you're going to be looked upon as a rebel on my behalf, and you better stay, or you can go, but you'll never have my support. You'll never have our support, and you won't be looked upon right. And as a young 17-year-old, I was struggling with it. I said, what does this have to do with me? I've only been dreaming about going to Hiles. I've only wanted to go to Hiles. And I said, we had sent an application ahead. We knew this is where we were going to come. We were looking forward to it. I had made all the preparations. I was preparing myself. Summertime was going to come. And this was for sure going to be the place I was going to get to come study. Back in 1991, 92. And I said, surely this is going to happen. And then everything turned all so quickly. And all the plans that I had, not only in my church family and the predicament that I was facing, I was put in a corner where my Spanish pastor told me, listen, Andy, either you're going to obey your pastor, whether you like it or not, whether you agree, or you're going to do what you think God wants you to do. And honey, and frankly, this was well too much for a young 17-year-old. I could not deal with it. I didn't know what to do. And during that same time, my parents got split, and I had to begin to work an extra job to help my mom with rent and try and help her pay the bills, and at the same time finish my Christian school and pay that and go and just try and survive. And I was put in a corner in a situation where I just thought it was very unfair. I was upset at my parents that now in my time, my turn now to go. I'm the youngest of four, and now it's my turn to go off, and this is happening. I felt it was unfair. And then my situation at church, I was in a corner. I got bitter. I said, Lord, why is this happening? You see, sometimes there are lessons that we have to learn when we lose control of the circumstances. When God changes our plans, we have to remember first and foremost that God always arrives on time. Verse number 6 there, it says, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. 2 days passed. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And he finally gets to where he's getting, and then he arrives at the place where Martha meets him, and the first thing she reacts and says in verse number 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection, Martha, and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, the Lord didn't come late. The Lord did not arrive late, and God will never arrive late. God is never late to a divine appointment. God is always there on time when it's supposed to be. You see, it was 28 years ago. I don't want to even know exactly how many years ago that we were sitting in high school, and we were thinking, we're going to come to Howes Anderson. For sure we're going to come to Howes Anderson College. Everything was squared away. Everything was right. I mean, I was getting all the phone calls from the, you know, all the people that telling you, we're expecting you to come, and we hope to see you soon, and so on and so forth, and then God changed the plans, and we did what we had to do and obey the pastor, and as much as difficult as that was, and I had to help my mother, and I had to go to a Bible institute there nearby under Brother Salazar, Ezekiel Salazar, and I had to decide that is where I was going to study and finish, and I did so in 95, and there I jumped into the ministry, and God has allowed me to serve the Lord for many years in the youth ministry. And who would ever dreamed, whoever would have known that years later, more than 21 years later, that God would have said, hey, you remember that you wanted to go to Hiles Anderson? Do you remember that was your desire, but you did what was right? You see, God in his perfect time, and I really believe this with all my heart, had I come then, I might not be here today, because it was my will, not God's timing. And God said, I do have a time for you, but you have to learn to wait on me. God always arrives on time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, please. And we know this passage, very familiar with it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And a time to kill and a time to heal and a time to break down and a time to build up. Jump with me into verse number 11. It says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You see, God is always on time. John 10:10, the Bible says, I have come to have life. I've come to give life and to have it abundant. God, to give it abundant. God desires to come exactly at the right time to do what he exactly wants to do. But when the fulfillment of time came, God sent his son, born of a woman. You see, the Lord never arrives late. I think of the story of the young man that he went to camp and God spoke to his heart about soul winning. And he came home and told his dad, it was Saturday morning. He says, Dad, we got to go soul winning. And the dad said, you know, son, it's raining terribly outside. And I get we have to soul win, but if I go outside, I'm going to get sick. And he was the pastor. He says, I need my voice to preach tomorrow. And the little boy that's 10 years old said, Dad, I know, but at camp, God spoke to us about soul winning. And I need to go out soul winning. Somebody needs to know. And his dad said, well, I'll tell you so much that he insisted, I'll let you go just on the block and hand out some tracts and I'll watch you from afar. And sure enough, the little boy got his raincoat and he's got his tracts and his umbrella and he started going door to door. And as it was raining, he was knocking doors and nobody answered that day. And it was down to the last house of the block and he turned around and he saw his dad was looking at him. And by this time it's raining, you know, really bad. And his dad's calling him saying, come back. It's time to get back. And he's insisting on that last door. And he wanted to at least hand out one track. So he started banging on the door. And then he started pushing the bell and pushing the bell. And finally, right before he had to take off, the door was answered. Well, now it was the next morning, Sunday morning, and there's visitors, and people were there, and people got saved. And at the end of the service, the pastor felt led to ask for testimonies and say, would somebody here would want to share a testimony, a quick testimony of what the Lord has done in your life? Something very unusual he normally didn't do, but that service God led him to do so. And it was a lady sitting in the back. And she said, I have a word of testimony. And he said, sure, that no one recognized her. She was a first-time visitor. That morning she had come forward and gotten saved and baptized. And she shared a testimony. She said, see, yesterday I was in my home. And she said, I was just thinking of killing myself. I was already climbing the chair in my basement, and I heard somebody knocking on the door, and there was a rope hanging from my ceiling there, and I was just about ready to finish my life. And surely no one visits me, no one even cares about me or knows me, but someone kept insisting on that door. And then they started bringing the bell, and I sat quietly hoping they'd go away, but they kept pushing that bell. And so I got off the chair, and I went to answer, and it was this little angel. Just a little boy that handed me a track. It didn't say much, just handed me a track and took off running. And I grabbed that track and I sat down and I read it. And I read how Jesus wanted to love me and he wanted to save me. And I looked at the address and I put down the rope and I put the chair in and I said, Lord, I'm going to give this a try. And she came to church this morning. She said, I came to church this morning and I just came looking for that little angel where he's at to thank him. And the pastor broke down in tears. And he said, Lord, he said, man, that's my son. And I refused to go soul winning, but I'm so thankful that my son, despite the rain, he wanted to insist on going soul winning. What I'm trying to tell you is that God knew that that lady needed someone at that very moment in time. And he sent that one little boy to knock on his door because God never arrives late. Amen. Just in time. We need to learn when God changes our plans that God always arrives on time. Secondly, quickly, that God always cares. You see, it was in this passage, in this story, where we see the verse, the first one we memorized, Jesus wept. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, if you go there with me, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, quickly, and I know I need to hasten. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the Bible says there, it says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion of them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see, the Lord does care. You see, the Lord does love us. And he does care what happens to us despite our emotions, despite our feelings of doubt, despite of what we have to let go or our plans maybe aren't working out the way we plan. But God does care. Matthew chapter 15, verse 23 or 32, I'm sorry, Matthew 15, verse 32, the Bible says, then Jesus called his disciples on him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, if you go over there quickly with me, Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, the Bible says there in verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Hebrews chapter 4, quickly, Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let me remind you, young person, that God does care. God does love you. God does see you. He knows your struggles. He knows what you're going through. He knows the necessities. He knows the struggle. He knows that problem that you're facing. He understands your insecurity. He gets your thinking, how am I going to make it happen, Lord? How is this going to work? And things are not going too well at home. Should I go back home? Should I stay? He understands all that. And he wants you to remember that he does care for you. He does love you. And he sees, and there's not one tear that drops from the eyes of a child of God that God does not catch in his hand, and he understands, and he hurts with you, and he loves you. Amen. When he changes our plans, we have to remember that he does care. And number three, when God changes our plans,
God always sees what we cannot see. John chapter 11, verse 9 through 11, he goes about talking about those that walk in the light and stumbleth not, and those that walk in darkness that stumble. You see, God did not see Lazarus dead. He saw him asleep. Martha and Mary saw him dead, and as a matter of fact, they came to the conclusion that it was impossible for him to be resurrected. And they knew that he had power, but they even questioned, said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days now. This is way past the scheduled, you know, time of your miracles. You should have answered by now. But God always sees what we cannot see. He is the potter, we are the clay. Things that I did not see, nor ear heard, nor have they gone up in the heart of man. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 9. I want to take you there quickly, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, quickly, and I want to make sure I'm quoting the scripture right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The verse number 9 there, as I was trying to quote there, is the Bible says, God is faithful by whom ye were called into the fellowship. Well, it's 2 Corinthians. I apologize. It's right in my notes and not right here in my pages here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. For to this end also did I write that I might know the proof of you. Well, it's not even that verse. I apologize. 1 Corinthians 2:9. So I was right. God changed those plans right there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. Says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Looking back and seeing his mercies, his miracles, greatness of power, and how deep can your sorrows be? How great can your need be? How much hurt can you truly have that his goodness and his power and his grace cannot change? No matter what the circumstances, no matter how messed up your plans have become, no matter how much you think that maybe you have to reconsider and rethink things. You see, there might be young people here that you're considering Hiles Anderson College. And you're thinking, well, I'm only coming because mom and dad told me to come. But maybe God is altering your plans, and He's trying to make you realize that maybe his plans is for you to answer the call and to come to a Bible college, and maybe your plans are different plans. Maybe you're thinking, well, I already have my plans, and I'm going to study this over here, and I'm going to study that over there. But God is trying to, in his mercy, take you to a place where maybe he's telling you, saying, Lord, hey, maybe God's telling you, maybe you ought to consider this, and I know it's not in your plan, and I know that this is not what you're trying to get scheduled in your life, and you have your plans, but have you considered that maybe, just maybe, that God, that I want to do the impossible in your life? You see, that's one of the things that we need to understand. When God changes our plan, is that God can always do the impossible. Lazarus was dead 4 days, and everyone there was weeping. Everybody there had lost hope. And he sees this, and Jesus weeps and says, you know, this is great sorrow. And he sees everything that's happening in the lack of faith. But God, yet, despite all circumstances, was able to do the impossible. You see, when God changes our plan, he's ready and willing and able to do the impossible. It's when we get to the end of the rope. It's when we don't know what to do. It's when we've lost all our options. It's when we're out of wits, at our wits' end, when we don't know how that solution is going to come and where that money's going to come, when we're at the end of the rope and say, Lord, I don't know what to do anymore, Lord. What should I do, Lord? Please help me somehow. It's when God says, now I'm come to the time where I'm ready to do the impossible with you. And so many times we've seen God do the miraculous just when we thought that there was nothing more to do. God always calls us to be obedient to his word. And I'll close with that. You see, in verse 43 in this passage, despite everything that was going on, through this whole story, God had called Martha and Mary to trust him. He had called those other men to help him roll the stone away. He had called Lazarus to come out and come up. You see, through this whole thing, through this miracle, through this situation where Martha and Mary were complaining and saying, Lord, why didn't you come on time? And he sees this lack of faith, and he sees all this mourning. Through all this, he continued to call. He continued to ask us to obey. And that's what God wants us to do. Even when God changes our plans, he wants us to continue to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. To continue to do what we're supposed to do. Continue to go soul winning. Continue to go visit the bus route. Continue teaching the Sunday school class. Continue one more day, one more semester, one more year. Continue obeying. And that's what God expects from us. To obey even when God changes our plans. In the midst of any situation, circumstance, difficulty, or pain, God expects us to continue to obey. Abraham, Moses, Job, Daniel, all obeyed despite their trials. It was Job that said it best, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. It was those young men in the story of Daniel that said, even if the Lord does not deliver us, even if the Lord doesn't get us out of this mess, we're still not going to bow knee to your God. Where are you this morning? How has God changed your plans? Maybe you're hurt this morning. Maybe somebody has betrayed your trust. Maybe somebody has done something hurtful to you. Maybe things that you thought were going to work out, and as some of the, you know, alumni has said, you know, they stayed here many years, and I know they were kidding, but in some sense they were, or they finally found a wife. Maybe some of you here that you say, well, I should have been already dating somebody. I should already be known somebody. And things have not worked out quite the way you expect them to work out. And you thought maybe coming to Bible college that everybody was just going to, you know, come over and just give everything to you and somehow help you through this situation. But you find yourself alone at many times and wondering, Lord, where's the help? And where are those that were in my corner saying, yay, God called you to the ministry and go to Bible. Where are those people, Lord? Where's the help coming? Where's my pastor? So many young people that struggle with that maybe the pastor doesn't send them so frequently notes, and maybe the youth pastor never sent you that little box with gifts, and you're sitting here in college saying, man, I feel so alone, and should I be here or should I just go back home? Maybe this Thanksgiving time I'm just going to stay home. Maybe I'm just going to throw in the towel because it doesn't seem to be working out the way I expect it to be working out. And don't look at me with those eyes like if I'm talking some other foreign language. If you're a Bible college student, you know you've been there at least one time in your life. You've gotten in that car with an empty tank, and you look at that E as the Holy Spirit. You somehow say, Lord, you got to get me to work. Where you're bumming a ride. Where you're saying, Lord, somehow you got to help me. And you're walking down the street. Maybe you're sick and you're going to class and you know you're running a fever, but you gotta go to class because you know you gotta do this, and you got nobody pampering you. You got nobody telling you, hey, it's okay. You know, just stay in bed. Like maybe things would be at home. Maybe you've gotten sick here. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you haven't been able to find a good job. Maybe you lost some friends because you answered the call. Maybe things aren't going too well with some friends that here at Bible College. You came together as friends, and somehow maybe your friendship has severed for reasons unknown. And you find yourself struggling with things that you didn't expect to struggle. Whatever it may be. You see, you're in the perfect will of God. God is always going to get there on time. Even when you doubt and say, Lord, he's going to be there on time. You have to just trust him. You have to just wait on him. And know that if God has you here right now, and you might see a great stone in front of you, and it might have been big days that he did not answer yet, and you might see things are impossible, and there's no way I'm going to get through this one. God already said, I'm coming. And I know exactly what I'm going to do. And despite your indifference, despite your lack of faith, I'm going to roll away that stone. I'm going to do the impossible with your life. And you're going to look back one day and see how I did get there on time. That I never was unfaithful to you. That even though when you were just 17, you questioned so many and you were bitter. But you did what was right. And you trusted me. And years later, it wasn't even a thought in your mind. Wasn't even a memory. But I remembered. Because I care. Delight thyself in the Lord. He shall grant you the desires of your heart. He cares. He knows what you're going through. He knows it's not easy. But faithful is he that calleth, whom also would do it. Has he changed your plans? Have you just been by faith saying, what's next, Lord? Because all my plans are out the window. What do I do now? Father, bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to trust you even when we don't know what you're doing. Help us, Lord, to understand that you see what we cannot see. That you're looking at things differently than I'm looking at them. That if you're calling me to do something, then you will also do it and be faithful to the end. And no matter how many days have passed since we send you that letter, that, Lord, you are faithful and you will come through and you will provide. Please bless this invitation.